All that being said, are we ready to move on? And do we have Mitch here to give us the Newell Perry report?
I am here.
Okay.
You are here. Thank you, sir.
And Mr. President, when my report has been concluded and vote taken, I'd like a moment of personal privilege, if I may.
We can probably arrange that, I'm sure.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, President Griffith and CCB Board of Directors. This will serve as the report of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust to the 2024 Conference and Convention of the California Council of the Blind, as required by Article 4.9 of our bylaws. The individuals who continue serving as trustees are Margaret Bushman Garcia, Richard Rueda, and myself as chairperson, Mitch Pomerantz. Once again, I want to publicly acknowledge and thank Margaret and Richard for their efforts over the past several years as stewards of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust. And looking at my notes this morning, I noticed, and I think Margaret and Richard came soon thereafter, but I have now been chair of Newell Perry Endowment Trust for about 10 and a half, almost 11 years in August. So time flies when you're having fun, I guess. We last reported to the board and membership at the April 2023 conference and convention when trust assets were $146,422.24 through February, which was the last report received from the Morgan Stanley folks prior to the 2023 convention. Through February 2024, this year's most recent report, trust value is $170,553.55, an increase of $24,131.31, or 16.48% over the preceding 12 months. As of 12/31/23, trust value was $164,559.17 as compared to $142,967.80 at the close of 2022. An increase of $21,591.30, or just over 15% for the year. The Newell Perry Endowment Trust experienced a healthy increase during 2023, as did the U.S. economy overall. I again want to acknowledge and thank Donna Andrews and her team at Morgan Stanley, who have kept the trustees well informed regarding CCB's investments, which comprise the Newell Perry Endowment Trust. And this will conclude our report to the Board of Directors and members of the California Council of the Blind, and I thank you.
Thank you, Mitch, and very happy to say that even with everything going on the last couple of years, we've managed to go the last several years now, I think, without having to request to dip into those funds. So it's nice to see that that we've gained quite a bit over the last 2, 3, 4 years, I think. So thank you for that report. Before we go to questions, do we have a motion?
Don't you want questions first?
Well, we could. Oh, we've been doing it.
No, I move that this report be he approved and, I guess, referred to audit. This is Lori Kastner.
Referred to audit?
That's okay. Usually said for treasurers, but it doesn't have to say that. Be approved.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't think I've ever quite heard that on.
But we always say that in Bayview, so don't ask me.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Lori. Do we have a second for that?
Regina, second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, so All right, Lori, I'm guessing that since you're unmuted, that you have a question or comment.
I did. Thank you. My question, Mitch, is several years ago, money was taken out of the Newell Perry Fund as loans. I think that happened two different years. Were those amounts ever repaid back into the funds?
Oh, good question. Let me check notes here, and I may not be able to find that real quickly. I believe they were not. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the specific circumstances, but we did come to an agreement, but no, they were not.
I think it was 70,000 two different years,
yes, before
the pandemic, yeah. Actually, I think.
I think it was just before that.
Yeah.
It was before. I think it was 2017 or 18, if my memory serves.
Yeah, 17, 18, 19, somewhere in there. And Lori, remember the Newell Perry Fund is a CCB fund that, to my knowledge, was established basically to help the operation of CCB. So the funds that CCB took from that were for operational purposes. They were not loans. They were withdrawals. Because that is not an account
correct.
That we have to take loans from. That is an account that CCB does have the right to go and request funds from for operational purposes. So
Thank you for those
withdrawals that you were talking about, those were actual withdrawals. They were not were not taken as loans.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
I think the discussion at the time, however, was that CCB would endeavor to repay the fund. So we didn't call it a loan per se, but the expectation was that the organization would repay the fund.
Okay. Well, we can definitely go back and take a look at those specific requests and see, and CCB someday is in position to repay to that, then we can definitely we'll definitely
and
look
I,
at it
and I yeah, and I did check my notes. It was in 2019.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Thank you, Lori. Do we have any other questions?
We have no hands at the moment.
No hands at the moment. Okay. So if there's no other hands for questions.
Yeah, actually, I raised my hand probably because I'm on the panelist side.
You probably raised your hand because you had a question, not because you're on the panelist side. But it may not have been seen because you're on the panelist side. But go ahead,
right.
Ask your question.
That's right. So, Mitch, am I correct? Was the corpus, because obviously we may not be able to pay back money, but was the corpus somewhere around $230,000 or something? Do you recall?
No, the corpus, which cannot be touched, was $70,000.
Okay, and what was rephrase my question. What was the high point of the of Newell Perry? Do you remember that? What that might have been?
I would have to look. Let me take a quick look here.
I feel like it was 230 or 50,000. Like 15,
it was. I'm looking at the beginning of 2014. It was at the beginning of 2014. It was 234,000. It went up to 243,000 that year. I'm trying to look real fast what the high points were, but it was close to around 250,000. Mm-hmm. I think that was the high point. And if you need more specific information, can certainly provide that at a later date.
So we're heading in the right direction anyway. Thank you.
Yeah. But I remember like years ago, I think we took money from that, around 2010, 2013, somewhere in there. I think, didn't Jeff, do you remember, didn't we take funds from that, from the Newell Perry to pay salary at that time for a year or two. Then like Mitch said, in 2018-19, CCB had to take from it. So
I think the
low point was down to around 103 or 104 thousand at one time, 101 or 102 maybe.
That sounds so about right.
Definitely gone back up quite a bit in the last like 3-4 years. So Jeff, I kept talking. What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna say once the vehicle donation program sort of tanked and we began having to raid that fund, and I'm really glad
we had to raid all of our other investment funds and CCB. Yeah, I remember 15 years ago, CCB had a lot more funds around. But once that vehicle donation went away, we had to start digging into our savings a lot.
Okay, Gabe, we have another hand, and this person should be unmuted. Area code 626, last three numbers, 991.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Donna from the other side of the house watching the bird so that all of you wouldn't have to hear him giving a report while Mitch gave his report.
Interesting.
I know they are, but that's for Sarah's fun time at the end of the meeting. So I did want to share with you, though, that when the last funds were borrowed from the Newell Perry Fund, CCB did say that when CCB got on good footing, that they would work to pay that back as well. So, that is my recollection, and obviously the organization is working toward that at this point. So I'm sure that Mitch, Richard, and Margaret won't come knocking on the door, because the organization is working toward that. But that's what was stated in good faith, that when the organization moved toward more solid footing, that it would work to repay it. So thank you.
Right. Thank you. And yes, and as we've heard, I think we've been holding on to that cliff by our fingernails, but at least we haven't had to come back and ask for more. But we're definitely not in the position to think about any kind of repayments or adding back into that fund at this point. But thank you, Donna. Any other hands from the other side of the house or otherwise?
No,
we anybody have no. Anybody on the panelist side, like Jeff, that had a hand up that isn't being seen? Okay. Hearing no further questions or comments, we have a motion on the floor to accept this report. If you are opposed, and only if you are opposed to that motion, please raise your hand. Give it somewhere around 23 to 38 seconds. Just as a first check, Andrea, any hands going up?
No.
Okay. Give it another few seconds here. Just about at my 23-second mark, so we'll give it another few seconds.
Nobody.
No hand.
I think you're good.
All right. So we're at about 32 seconds there, so hearing no hands, we'll declare that motion passed. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mitch and Richard and Margaret, for your stewardship of this fund. And at this point, before we move on to our next item of for the day, Mitch, you'd ask for a moment.
Thank you, President. And I just also looked, and the authorized Morgan Stanley, we authorized them back in 19. I believe the amount that was issued to CCB was $20,063.40, if I'm looking at the right area of my Newell Perry file.
And I feel like there were a couple of disbursements that year, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one. I think there was another one of similar amount later.
Sounds right.
My personal privilege, twofold. One, I want to thank CCB for the opportunity to talk about Newell Perry, but specifically about Tony Menino and Dr. Isabel Grant, both of whom, especially Dr. Grant, had a major influence on my life and the person I became as an advocate and all of those related items. So I want to thank you. Since folks were reminiscing some over the last several days, and last night you ran the Hall of Fame blurb on Mac Riley, I need to tell a quick story. I was the president of the Greater Los Angeles chapter in 1983-84. Mac was president of the Metropolitan Los Angeles chapter of Associated Blind of California. And out of the blue one day, I got a phone call from Mac. And Mac said, "Mitch, it appears as if our two affiliates, the ACB and CCB, would be merging." He said, "We should get together and draft a constitution and bylaws and merge our two chapters." And I thought actually that we were the first ACB and ABC and CCB chapters to do that. I think one of the chapters up in Northern California might have gone through that process at the same time. But I want to acknowledge Mac, because he reached out to me, and Mac and I sat down over a period of a couple of 3 weeks and drafted a constitution and bylaws, and our two chapters merged several months before CCB actually merged with ACB. So I wanted to make mention of that for folks who perhaps weren't around a long, long time ago or who may not have been aware of that. So thank you for the opportunity to mention that.
Thank you, Mitch. Definitely, along with all these recordings, definitely nice to hear the few folks that have jumped in to add a little bit more like that. So thank you. Okay, and with that, and actually on that note, I believe that the next thing up we have is our 14th Hall of Fame recording.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame History Project as we celebrate our 90th anniversary.
I am extremely pleased to honor and talk about a very good friend and CCB Hall of Fame member, Frank Welty. Frank joined CCB in 1986. And I remember Frank because we were in the Alameda County chapter for a while. And then we and others helped to create the Berkeley Council of the Blind. And we moved to that chapter. We organized a very successful technology summit, an employment seminar, a social security seminar. The chapter lasted several years and then it folded. But I have to say I was very impressed with Frank's leadership, his willingness to undertake any task. And in 1992, that is when Frank began his serious work in CCB. He has served ably in many, many positions in the organization. So many positions that I can't even mention them all. He has served as treasurer for two chapters. He has been the president of two chapters and three special interest affiliates. He has served on too many committees, from housing to transportation issues to constitution and bylaws. He really gets into that. He worked for 2 years as CCB's Director of Governmental Affairs in Sacramento. And what I think impressed many legislators were his humility, his strength of character, and his calm demeanor. And yet he really pounded the pavement and got the job done. And that is what characterizes Frank in many respects. And he is able to engage with people in a very effective manner. He cares about giving. He cares about lending a helping hand. He is there for people in need. He is generous. Frank is a keen observer. He looks at issues from all sides. He is especially adept at rigorous policy analysis. Frank is a devoted husband. He is a guide dog handler and absolutely loves dogs. Beginning in 1992, maybe 1993, we were roommates together at several conventions. And it was very interesting because we came from totally different backgrounds. And people used to say to me, oh, it's not going to work. You're going to clash. You'll hate each other. Totally the opposite is true. We rarely had a serious disagreement. We always got along. I think we were both open-minded enough to accept each other and to work together. And I have been impressed with Frank ever since. He was willing to change his mind and to learn from others and to learn from the world around him. Finally, in his words, Frank believes that actively participating in the organized blind community is one of the keys to living successfully with blindness. And he finds great satisfaction in sharing his time and talents to strengthen our community as a whole and CCB in particular. Frank has a vision for the future of CCB. And I think we are lucky to have someone who wants to see it really become more influential, become much larger, and become a very important organization within our state.
Thank you for sharing that. Frank mentored me and other people who had no experience starting an affiliate when we began Inclusive Diversity of California. He was there from the beginning, and like you said, helping us with constitution, bylaws, policies, getting our minds straight on how to run an affiliate. I had no idea how to do it, and he was one of the people that helped us, along with Jeff Tom and Bob Acosta.
Mitch Pomerantz. Mitch has a master's and undergraduate degree in political science from the University of Southern California. Mitch was employed as an ADA compliance officer for the city of Los Angeles until 2008. And in 2009, he became an ADA consultant trainer. He has done extensive expert testimony. Mitch has extensive experience in the public, private, and the nonprofit sector, holding the highest office in the American Council of the Blind as president, the California Council of the Blind as its president. Mitch has served on numerous committees in the organization, serving and chairing resolutions, bylaws, employment assistance in California, chairmanship for special interest group affiliates by government employees. Mitch was responsible as an ADA compliance officer for the city of Los Angeles to have accessible pedestrian signals installed around the hotel area, which is Century Boulevard, for its the council's convention. Mitch's style of leadership is fact-based and no nonsense. Many people have problems with that. I personally have found it very refreshing dealing with someone that is direct to the point and is clear as to what their thoughts are and what is needed for an organization. I would give him the credit being the first California Council of the Blind president who actually was attempting to apply business management practices. He was sensitive and still is that first the organization is a consumer organization, but the reality is it is a corporation and it has legal responsibilities, and that means that it has to follow business practices, including audits of financial and internal audits of its programs and assets. He's always tried to be innovative and bringing new ideas, and he introduced the idea of a strategic plan for the organization later to be implemented by Donna Pomerantz as president. Mitch is a hard worker, so I found him to be constructive and supportive on issues. Other activities that he has in Pasadena and changing things, he has worked with the city, Department of Transportation, local elected officials, and the bicycle community to try to address the conflict of interest between bicyclists and pedestrians. He has extensive involvement in activities within the council, within his local community, but even on the international level with the World Blind Union. Mitch has served there. One of Mitch's accomplishments in the California Council of Blind was establishing in the 1980s a non-interest loan equipment program for members of the blind and low vision community. It was a program where people who could not afford adaptive equipment could apply for a non-interest loan to purchase the equipment. Many people have, over the years, have gotten equipment. The funding came through grants that Mitch personally wrote, and it is a program that I know he's very proud of. So we're very fortunate to have Mitch as part of our organization. I know that I am missing many other aspects of Mitch Pomerantz as a person, as a leader, and an advocate, but he is someone that will be known for a long time within our organization and the blind movement as a whole.
We'll be back later with another episode from our Hall of Fame History Project.
Again, I can talk about both of those guys for a while, too. Frank, I first met Frank in 2003, and we were roommates at the ACB convention in Pittsburgh. I think we roomed starting that Saturday, and we finally met on about Wednesday. So we were roommates for about 5 days before we actually ever were in the room and met. For Mitch, thank you also for all of your mentoring to me. And Donnie used to say that I was Mitch's long-lost son. So learned a lot from Mitch, and thank you for that. All right, with that, we're not done with these yet. We got at least one more, I think. Maybe two? One? I don't know. But before we go to resolutions, Lisa, are you available?
Yes.
Okay. And you can go ahead and call somebody else's name on this one. I want the last one.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that directive. I'll try to do my best.
Yeah, thanks.
So we're going to do another $25 gift card generously provided by the San Francisco chapter. And Phil Obregon. Congratulations.
Hey, Phil. All right. Thank you, Lisa. And what do we have? Do we have one more and then our grand one? Is that the one? Am I correct on that?
Yeah. One more and then the grand. Yep.
Yep. Okay, cool.